We'll say Patsy.
Okay.
A vote for me is a vote for you. Vote Patsy to represent you. Cast your ballot, have you heard? Patsy for student council secretary. Spread the word.
Oh.
That's a long slogan.
That's a long one.
That's very long.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
All right, so here we are with our election special. The midterms are coming up.
Yes, may the best man or woman win.
Yes. So I wanted to kick off with some good student council campaign slogans. Did you ever run for office?
Yes, I did. I ran in, I think...
With treasurer?
How'd you guess? I think it was fifth grade or fourth grade. I ran for treasurer and I made slogan buttons.
Okay.
That said, the Dukes of Hazzard say vote for Katie Kazmir.
Really? And it worked.
No, I got in trouble.
Oh, because that wasn't actually an endorsement for the Dukes of Hazzard, right?
I just made it up.
It was misrepresentation.
Yeah, Bo and Luke Duke never even...
They didn't even know about the campaign.
They didn't know about the campaign.
And if they did know, like, what they have supported you, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, maybe they would have gone for Pete Mikulski, the other guy.
Yeah.
Right? Whoever.
Yeah, I can't just assume that they would.
So I somehow, vote for me. I think I was treasurer one time in high school or like secretary, and I don't even think, I think I was nominated for it, and they were like,
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because you know me, I wouldn't have run for shit. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in government on any level, and student government, regularly, I'm like, I don't want to be in office. So I ended up being, like, the secretary or whatever, a treasurer, and I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I got out of, like, a free period and showed up to meetings, and there was, like, a dinner
at the end of the year.
No, you know, like, what do you do, actually, as class president in a high school or a middle school? I never really understood.
You don't really do anything, I don't think, but the only, in my school, the high school president and vice president are in charge of all the class reunions into infinity.
Oh, yeah. So that's one reason to not
do it.
I think it is, too, for Greg, my husband. I think it's the same way. Mm-hmm. Whoever was the class president ended up having to do the 20-year reunion. And I talked to her. She basically was like, well, this is not, like, it's not fun for me.
Yeah, nobody tells you that when you're running. You think that it's just going to look good on your college application.
I guess.
Well,
if colleges even pay attention to that. But I guess the real reason is that, you know, you get to practice democracy.
Okay.
And you get, as a teen or as a preteen, and you can see that it really is just a popularity contest.
Yes, yes it is.
So here are some of the slogans. A vote for me is a vote for you. Vote fill in the name to represent you. We'll say Patsy.
Okay.
A vote for me is a vote for you. Vote Patsy to represent you. Cast your ballot. Have you heard? Patsy for student council secretary. Spread the word.
Oh.
That's a long slogan.
That's a long one.
That's very long. Here's one. Choose CHEWS Patsy for student council president and put gum packages and bubbles on your poster. Oh. I think nowadays, so this seems like someone who's a little bit older. I think kids nowadays would go online and order gum.
Yeah.
That has like their picture on it.
Right. And hand it out.
But also known as a bribe, right? Because if you're doing this in, like, fourth grade and you're handing out gum, you know what that means.
Yeah.
You know?
One so you're buying your vote.
You're buying votes. Here's a count on someone who can count.
Oh.
Patsy for treasurer. This is, don't be a loser, be a chooser. Choose Patsy.
Well, that's a good advice in life.
Yeah,
don't be a loser, be a chooser. Like, control your destiny.
But it's not saying vote for me. It's just saying, like, vote.
Yeah, well, that's also a good message. Vote.
Yeah. Don't be shy. Give Patsy a try. That doesn't sound... It sounds like the come on.
It sounds like everybody in the back seat.
Yeah. Don't vote for them. They don't know what to do. Vote for me, and I'll make your dreams come true. Or this is more like yours. Everyone says Patsy for president.
Everyone
including
says.
Including Luke and Bo Duke. Free drinks on me, and then you hang it over the water fountain.
Okay.
Or then there's also got Patsy? Question mark. or got Patsy, she does a student body good. Emphasis my own, probably inappropriate.
Yeah, very much so. That's all inappropriate. A lot of these are inappropriate because they can be taken different ways.
Yeah, but keep in mind, too, I guess if they're from middle school, they'll probably be like, hee hee.
Yeah, no. But still, it's not the way to groom kids for office later.
Making the world a Patsy, making the world a better place since 1990 or whatever. Popularity or brains, it's a no-brainer. Vote Patsy. So apparently no one likes her, but she's super smart.
Nope, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Because I have no brain?
I don't know. Yeah, popularity or brains, it's a no-brainer.
Meaning? All
right. Take a stand. The results will be grand.
How about roses are red, violets are blue, vote for me.
And, I don't know. I didn't figure that out. Vote Patsy. I'll promise I'll do my best and I'll never take a rest. And then it's also vote for Jim, crossed out, and then really vote for Patsy.
I like that.
So I thought these were you want something done, Patsy is the one. Your voice, your choice, vote Patsy today. That sounds very dour.
Mm, yeah.
For a high school or middle school election.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so these are like a good neighbor, Patsy is there.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, get out of here.
Yeah.
I need a better fence.
If you vote for me, you will see what a great representative I'll be. Yeah.
People wonder, why on earth would you run for anything?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like such a miserable job.
Yeah, people hate you.
Get yelled at all the time.
You're in charge of a group of people that you can't fire, and you didn't hire them.
Right.
I think that
was
the weirdest
thing. And then you're under the microscope.
Yeah.
Like, everything from your past is going to be dredged up.
You can't even scratch your own ass without somebody saying, look at him.
Scratching his ass.
Yeah, scratching his ass on my watch.
Yeah. On our dime.
On the taxpayer dime.
Scratching his ass.
What next, a massage?
Yeah, well, there's some perks, especially in Congress, that they get we don't get.
Yeah, like healthcare.
Okay.
Free healthcare on the taxpayer's dime.
Yes, so there's a lot.
And they need that healthcare because most of them are like 105 years old.
Yeah.
Some of them are on the third heart.
Oh, yeah, and then... And they're able to vote for themselves, mm-hmm. for all these perks that they have.
Yeah.
So basically...
Should old assholes like me get a fourth heart? I say yes. What say you, Patsy? Yes. You know? Should we get a raise?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So their base annual salary, coming in hot.
And keep in mind, they're already rich, because most of them are millionaires.
Yes. Their base annual salary is $174,000.
Are you fucking kidding me? They're not even doing anything.
And that's just like saying you're...
Are there tips?
For compare, mm-hmm. Like the average private sector salary, like just anywhere, like an average is $51,000.
And these assholes
aren't getting upwards of
$174,000. They're getting paid for four jobs and not doing any.
Yeah.
That's the base.
Yeah.
So how do you get extra stuff?
Okay. Then another thing that they get.
I'm moonlight on the Ways and Means Committee. Extra $15,000 for me.
Another thing they get is free airport parking.
No. Why?
Okay. Because.
Make them wheel themselves from the perimeter like the rest of us assholes.
Yeah. In 1987, as a courtesy, the airport authority has kept 92 combined spots reserved between airports for members of Congress.
Mm-mm. I think that not only they should have to park far away, then take a shuttle, and then walk the rest of the way. And they should have to carry a taxpayer.
Yeah, the idea is that they have to go back to their home states. And they
so
fly
what?
Back. I know, exactly.
I'm sorry, isn't everyone at the airport trying to get back to their home state? Like, really? No, I only fly out.
Okay.
I don't try to get home. I just keep going forward.
Okay, the House of Representatives have their own exclusive gyms that come
that they don't use. You've seen these people.
I know. They're gelatinous.
They're just storing things in there.
Yeah, but it comes with a flat screen TVs, a swimming pool, sauna, and steam room, paddleball, and a basketball court.
How many representatives are playing ball?
Oh, it's not even about who's playing ball, but it's the fact that Congress keeps the gym open during all the days that there are government shutdowns. So if the government shut down or they're not working, oh yeah, that but that
gym their racket is open. Club is still open.
Yeah, so all the fees for maintenance and everything they
so we're still is, paying. This for is what it, they do. They probably just go work out. They probably shut down so they can get into the gym.
Yeah. There's weakened insider trading restrictions. So despite passing the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act,
the well named.
Yeah,
stop trading. They can still trade.
In 2012, Congress gutted the primary disclosure component earlier this year. So,
why is it so important for them to do insider trading? Come on.
While still making it difficult to make trades on inside information, this means they don't have to publicly disclose their trades and potential insider knowledge.
It's there's so few of them too, and there's like really you have to make a rule for this few people.
Yeah,
and then you can't even follow it.
No, so they're making it easy for them not to follow. So the rule is kind of there, but then it's not enforceable.
You forgot to read the wink wink part that's in there. It should say, you know, at the end of this law, wink wink.
Yeah, so they can make untold amounts of money based on the knowledge, the insider knowledge that they have.
On
the
rules that they're passing.
Yeah, and they don't have to disclose it. And then if we find out, it's like the law is, they don't have to disclose it. So
bizarre. Why even bother?
Yeah.
If I were running Congress and the House of Representatives, my rule would be everyone has to wear flip-flops all the time. That way they can't run. That's all. That would be my rule. You got to wear flip-flops.
Flip-flops.
Vietnamese-style ones, the thong ones.
Yeah.
It's like a thin Haviana.
That's it.
Good luck. Come rain, come snow.
That's it.
Yeah.
They get
Can you imagine at a press conference, just all of the congressional leaders, just suits and flip-flops would change things.
Okay. Wrap your head around this one. They get up to 239 days off a year.
Are you kidding me? There aren't even that many days in a year. And they're not so they're working like what? 75 days?
There were 100 and, according to the late 2012, there were 126 congressional sessions on the docket without a single 5-day work week, leaving members of Congress with 239 days to work, outside of Congress. Yes, so they're
out. That's when they're out doing the lobbying, the trading.
Sometimes this means working from their home state. In other cases, it may mean a vacation. And members of Congress get the entire month of August off.
They
get 2 weeks around Easter off. And
why?
Weren't scheduled to work a single weekend.
I would have the people dying from, like, literally dying from exhaustion. That's how hard I would work Congress.
Yeah. No kidding. Like, no kidding.
They should be losing weight. They should be dehydrated. So they're struggling to get their flip-flop on.
So they have 6 weeks right off the bat, just not even there.
You lazy pieces of shit.
And then plus, there are no 5-day work weeks. And they get to go home and work from home.
Mm-hmm. And spend time with their families, as they keep talking about.
Congress receives health care subsidiaries under Obamacare.
Mm-hmm. They should. First of all, I would strip them of their health care and their retirements. They don't need it. They're already rich. Screw them.
That's what I say.
Get a part-time job.
Individuals are required to have health insurance or face a penalty that increases each year, starting from...
Just like the rest of us.
For individuals earning less than 4 times the annual poverty level, that's about $46,000.
Yeah.
Or families earning less than 4 times that of the poverty level, like that's $92,000 for a family of 4, they can get a full or partial subsidy on their health insurance.
Right, they already have a free gym.
No, this is us.
Oh, this is
but
us.
Then Congress also gets a large portion of health insurance subsidized by the exchange, despite making 4 times that of the poverty level.
Why?
So they get subsidized no matter what they make. So our threshold for the public, 46 for a person, 92 for a family.
Then you're cut off.
And then you're cut off. But for them, making 174 and upwards, they still get a subsidy.
With a free gym.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Retirement plan. Okay, so...
First of all, I wouldn't have one because you shouldn't be up there that long.
Yeah.
You shouldn't.
I know.
It's not a job for life.
Okay, so according to the figures from the Census Bureau, the average Social Security recipient is going to net $15,000 a year in benefits.
Not Congress.
While a public worker's pension will average $26,000. Okay, mm-hmm. So there's where we stand. By contrast, a retired member of Congress who served 20 years will average $59,000 annually in pension benefits. In addition, Congress members have access to the Thrift Savings Plan, a 401k-like investment with fees of just 0.03%.
Are you kidding me?
And to put that in context, that means that just there's only 27 cents in fees for every $1,000. Okay. And
why?
And that's for them, but for the rest of us, we get like $5 in fee for every $1,000. So those fees over the years really
And we're not getting much money anyway. These guys are already rich.
Yeah. So they get 27 cents in fees, we get $5 in fees for every $1,000. Again, over the time, this is
yeah, this erodes your
members of Congress fly free. Not every single flight they fly free. But when they, a majority of their flights that go back between their home states and D.C., they're funded by taxpayer money.
Why? I have to pay for my MetroCard.
Yeah.
To get to work every day. You have to pay for your transportation. Yes. Why don't these assholes have to pay?
And on top of that, they can book multiple flights and then not show up for them because it depends on their schedule. So they're allowed.
Oh, okay. For the one day a month they have to work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It depends on the schedule.
Yeah, because they're
I'm sure you could hear it in my voice. I cannot stand these people.
Yeah, they do nothing.
They really do nothing.
Yes. So, death benefits, should a member of Congress be killed while in office, the surviving family would be entitled to receive at least 1 year's worth of salary or a minimum of $174,000.
Mm-hmm. They should get what that person's worth was like $150.
Yeah. In contrast, family members...
like whatever you get for a pet death, that's what you get for a member of Congress.
Yeah. So if a soldier dies in battle, defending our country domestically or overseas, they're entitled to $100,000 in military death benefits as well as a funeral and burial expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So Congress gets upwards of that.
That's disgusting. I really feel like if a member of Congress dies, they just leave him on the side of the road. Just roll him out.
Right.
Take his flip-flops off, roll him out.
And hose him down for the next person.
Loose change. Go through his pockets for loose change. Just leave him there.
Okay. And there's...
let the elements sort it out.
All right. So now you're in Congress. You know, you need some money to get things done, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
There's a $1.2 million to $3.3 million allowance. Members of the House receive $900,000 annual allowance for a staff, as well as $250,000 for budget for travel and office expenses.
So hookers and coke. It's a lot of coke. A lot of hoes.
And it's all tax money.
It's all the money that the rest of us have worked hard for.
Yeah. Each senator, on the other hand, gets a budget of $3.3 million based on figures from the Congressional Research Service. Again, certain companies do offer lavish pay packages and perks to employees.
So but these are people who have actually worked.
I know. And that depends on what skill you're at.
These guys have no skills.
No skills, but they get these expenses from $1.2 million to $3.3
million. So this is why people run. It's for this.
Yeah.
So they take this money and they give it to their buddies.
Yeah.
This is when you hear about why do people hire their wife. This is with this money.
Yeah.
Or their husband or and whoever.
It's like, yeah, that's why they were like, oh, I needed a new office set. Well, who was the Congress guy? I'll say guy.
Yeah.
He's not a man.
He's not acting like a man.
He spent like $250,000
on
desk.
A rug or something
like
that.
And it was like, what? And it was like, you know you didn't. You pocketed that.
No, you took the money. Or you gave it to, you have a friend that sells desks.
And he gave you a receipt for that. Mm-hmm. And you guys split the
cost. No one's going to let that. But this is why these guys, like, when they do go back to their home districts, they're skirting around and they don't want to talk to people. Because this information is out there and people are pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I'd definitely be like, hey, how's that desk going?
Yeah.
You know?
So that's what's...
That's why people run for office.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's to represent people and to keep our democracy running. But also for these big-ass perks.
Yeah, the perks and then all the money they get for... Mm-hmm.
And then the connections that they make.
The connections they make and then the bribes they take.
So just to be clear, I don't think any... There should not be a retirement plan because no one should be allowed to be there long enough to retire.
Yeah. Oh, and they stick around.
And it's 20 years, that's it?
Stick around.
But if they do 20 years and they can retire, is that what they're saying? What other profession can you retire? Besides cops, Who else could retire after just a mere 20 years? Yeah. Let's be clear about that. So you have these people who go in, say you go into Congress young.
Yeah.
You go in at, say, like 40. You work for 20 years. You're right, 60. You're going to live another 40 years. You barely worked. You've done nothing.
And that's why you get the younger guys at 25, and they're going to retire at 45.
That's too
young. They're going to
be sucking up all this money,
doing nothing, and they go in to do this.
That's
and
crazy.
To make the under the table
no money wonder they don't want women and minorities doing this. It's a plum job.
Yeah,
you don't have to do anything. There are no skills, no qualifications, and then you get there and they hand you a pile of money and a free gym, and you don't even work 5 days. I would have these guys. I would be yoking them up to carts. They would be just struggling in their flip-flops to try to get anything done. Like, you guys want to pass a bill? It's over there. You got to carry this rock while you do it.
Yeah.
Get moving.
Do something.
You don't get over there, you don't get paid.
Yeah, and dust the furniture while you're at it yourself.
Do something yourself. Like, work, you lazy piece of shit.
Put Swiffers on the bottom of your shoes and shuffle across. Because at least you get something done here, right?
Yeah. Get something done. Put a plow on the front of them. Make the snow go while you're at it. Like, do so. Yeah, we have to figure out a way to make sure they actually do work. Maybe we should eliminate all of the, if there's any escalators or any kind of elevator, so they at least have to walk. Mm-hmm. That's got to be something they could do. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
They got to do something.
I tell you one thing, other thing. I met, this was back in 2003, I met a senator from Florida at the Oak Bar in New York City.
Oh.
He was sitting next to me. Anyway, but he told me, we got a discussion, it cost the Republican Party $25 million to put him in office. That's...
Why? They had to buy up that many people?
I guess.
I don't know. I'm very cynical when it comes to voting and democracy. People were like, you gotta vote. And you should vote. Everyone should vote. But really, it's worthless. Because if it were worth something, somebody would be offering me some money for it.
But no one's ever making it so difficult. So it is worth something.
It is. It's worth something to have people not vote. So speaking of voting, so I did a little bit of research on to find out how much people in the United States, like how much do people actually vote? So it says U.S. trails most developed countries in voter turnout. Nearly 56% of the U.S. voting age population cast ballots in the 2016 election. That's not a lot of people. Mm-hmm. This is 56% of the people, but they do it not by how many people could vote, but how many people are registered voters. A lot of people never registered to vote.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the butt. So
that's the first thing I do. When I move somewhere, I register to vote.
So do I, but not everybody does that. And in a lot of countries, the countries that have the highest turnouts, it's automatic. Mm. Why should you have to register again? Yeah. They know where you are. If you have your license or you've moved, like, you shouldn't have to do anything. It should automatically happen, right? So I think everyone should have the, it's almost as if they don't want you to vote, you know?
That's the first thing. I get a library card, and I register.
I register. So while most Americans, 70% in a survey said that high turnout in a presidential election is very important. What they consider to be high turnout depends very much on what you're measuring. Mm-hmm. So in the census estimated in 2016, in November, there were 245.5 million Americans, 18 and older. So that's people who should be able to vote. But only 157.6 million reported registering.
Mm.
So you're losing, you know, like a nice, you know, almost like 100 million people that aren't even registered to vote.
Wow.
So while political scientists define turnout as votes cast divided by the number of eligible voters, a lot of other people look at it. It's based on how many people could vote, like how many people are over 18 and can vote. That's what you should be looking at, not to see who's registered. Because if you register, you're more than likely to vote.
I think the new strategy should be that, like, the blue states that have an excess of, say, like 100,000 people in order for the state to win, it should take, like, have volunteers move, quote unquote, to a red state and
it's already happening.
And register there and vote in those
states. It's already happening in Texas that a lot of, people are just people who are Democrats are moving to areas that were solidly Republican before, and now you actually have contests.
Oh, okay.
Like, you actually have to do something. So it said that in 2016, 170,000 ballots were either blank, spoiled, or nullified.
What?
So that's a lot, considering that in some elections, it's only a few hundred people that make the determination of where the voting goes. So out of a list of 32 OECD, so Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development countries, so highly developed democratic states, we're number 26 out of 32 in how much of our population votes.
Wow.
So in, for example, in Belgium, 87% of the people vote.
Wow.
Who can vote. In Sweden, 86%. In Denmark, 80%.
See, and all these countries have a better system in place for the people because they actually get out and vote.
Well, they want people to vote. In some places, they say that it is compulsory. So you have to vote. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the law that you have to vote. Like, you don't get penalized, but everyone is automatically registered. So if you're a citizen and you're over 18, you're registered to vote. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. And they try to, like, nudge people into it to make sure that people actually turn out to do this kind of thing. And the way that you can do this are having, you know, frequent polling stations, having the polls open longer, or just having people know that they don't need to do anything. Mm-hmm. Why should you have to register?
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
You're over 18. You're a citizen.
Vote. But it also depends on what state. So that's therein lies the rub.
Well, that's the problem here, but no one else seems to have a problem with this.
Yeah.
The thing, voter fraud is pretty much a myth. Mm-hmm. Like, it generally doesn't happen. So they found that in Chile, after they moved from compulsory to voluntary voting, it went from 87% of people voting to 42%. Mm-hmm. So as soon as they made it not compulsory, people were like, fuck it, I'm not doing it. But the fact that they said you have to do it, people actually did it.
They actually went and did it.
So it says turnout comparisons based on registered voters are not meaningful. For instance, the U.S. turnout in 2016 was 86.8% of registered voters, which makes it look like there are a lot of people voting. But as it said, a lot of people aren't even registered to vote. And then we don't take into account too, like felons, people who have been stripped of the vote, or people who are disenfranchised in other ways.
Right.
So what's happening now is that the Republican Party is trying to, people started voting. Like, for Obama, people started coming out to vote. Low-income people, a lot of women, and people of color, and new citizens. So those are the people that they're trying to disenfranchise, because I suspect there's actually more Democrats.
I think so,
they're just not coming out to vote. So when they go out to do voter registration, like what they were doing in the 60s, the Republicans didn't like that because they were going and getting people to vote. And they're saying, well, these people are going to vote Democrat. Mm-hmm. Maybe, maybe not. But the point is like, you just can't say then, you know.
Right, right. And so the last couple of elections, the Republican Party was putting out things saying, if you're Republican, vote Tuesday, and if you're a Democrat, vote Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so people thought that they would vote the next day, which is not
voting day. If people actually just go out there and vote, we'll see what actually the representation is.
Yeah, but you have to know the right day to vote.
Yeah.
And if you're being deliberately misled.
I don't understand why the poll. First of all, I think the poll should be open for multiple days. Mm-hmm. And I think one of those days should be a weekend day.
I agree.
So it could either be, I wouldn't say Friday, because a lot of people observe, you know, Friday, Saturdays, and things like that. So maybe on Sunday, because even if you're a Christian and you go to church on Sunday, you're still allowed to do other things on Sunday. Whereas in some religions, it's like,
well,
you
that's the reason,
you know,
why they did. They picked the first Tuesday in November.
Mm-hmm. Most people are out of town or something?
No, it started back in the day when agriculture was the thing, and it was at the convenience of the farmer, because it was like a Christian kind of, most farmers were Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were at church on Sunday, and it was a day of rest. So they weren't doing anything. They weren't supposed to be doing anything or traveling on Sunday. And then usually it took them a while to travel to the polling location. So they needed Monday for travel.
To get there.
And so then Tuesday was the voting day. And it gave them enough time to get back for market on Wednesday.
Okay.
And that's how it was set up. And that's the reason why.
Yeah, we can dispense with that now.
Yeah, and they picked,
since only like 1% of us are farmers.
Yeah, so they picked November because it was like the harvest is pretty much done and it's right before the snow really comes. And so it was like a little sweet spot in between getting a lot of work done and getting ready for and making travel possible.
I didn't know that.
So that's what it's for. And so basically it really was for the convenience of the voter to have it on this day. So we have to change it.
to make it convenient for the voters again, because that was the original intent.
Right. And so, yes, I agree. It should be like a 3 or 4 day span. Yeah.
I say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Right. And it should be there, like one of those days for anybody. You should.
It should be a holiday.
It should be a holiday, one full day off. And then there should be a receipt when you vote that they stamp and validate you that you did.
Some people, some states give a receipt. They get like a printout to make sure that, you know, you have a look at it and you say, okay, it reflects what I actually voted.
Yes. And then bars and restaurants and retail stores can run specials. If you voted, then you get 20% off your meal.
Like that
or
idea.
Or there's a certain happy hour for voters. And then there are sales and different things.
Perk.
So during that time, you're encouraged to take the time to vote, get your receipt, and then it stimulates the economy as well.
I like this. Katie for president. Was it?
Yes.
What was the slogan that I had earlier? Oh, Katie. One name, one legend.
One legend, yes.
I like it.
See, I have all the ideas.
You have all the ideas. Yeah. You're too nice and decent of a person, though, to run.
But I'm
office.
Also evil.
Yeah.
Also evil on it. Yes. I have a shadow
Can you
side.
Embezzle? How does the flip-flop strike you?
I
that's
can
coming around.
Flip-flop.
I know you like an open-toed shoe.
I do. I will do that.
For you, if you were in Congress, I'd say closed-toed shoes for everybody in full humidity.
Yeah.
Screw them.
That's how I feel. Oh,
I like that. I just wish the polls should be open longer. And it should be, if you are a citizen and you're over 18, you should be able to vote. Mm-hmm. And I'm also in favor of giving felons the vote once they, when you've done your time.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You've done it. Like, what's really? And considering how many things can be felonies. So you could be a felon for bouncing checks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Right? So what?
So
everybody in Congress is bouncing checks all the time.
Oh, yeah. And breaking laws.
Yeah.
And stealing money.
Yeah. So just because you actually got caught doing something, mm-hmm. now you can't vote.
What about their fictional receipts for the furniture and they're pocketing the money.
That's fine. I say let everybody, we elect felons, let them vote.
Got the four R's.
Four R's. Rehearse, record, rental, repair.
209 West 40th Street. Hashtag #BunkLifeNYC.
This is a thing that has always struck me as weird, and I'm sure it's the most ludicrous thing in the world,
okay.
Basically. Somebody in Congress dies, and their wife takes their job.
Huh? Why?
Yeah, you've heard of this, right?
Yeah.
It's called the...
Has it happened?
Oh, yeah. This has happened before. It is, let's see, more often than not, it started like way back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Pioneer woman.
Pioneer women in Congress mm-hmm. gain experience in public office.
That is the worst way. I mean, that does not, I think this doesn't help women.
No.
Right? This kind of thing. Because who is this broad?
Yeah, I know.
And she's totally unqualified. She's done nothing to deserve the position except she married the guy who had it.
Right. So basically it was the idea that it's called the widow's mandate or the widow's succession, they call it. All right. So, wives succeeded their husbands, because the expectation was that the woman would serve briefly and provide a seamless transition by carrying forward the legislative business and district interests of their deceased husbands. So it was supposed to be like they'd carry on as their husband would until
mm-hmm.
local party officials, especially the one party South, recruited...
some other POS.
Somebody else and got them groomed and ready to take the seat.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hey, just sit here. Keep it warm.
It's a placeholder, basically. A seat warmer. And so even then, back in the day, it was like some of the women who have inherited a seat in Congress have demonstrated their individual ability. But most of them, it can be said that they submitted with dignity and good taste to a false code of chivalry, served and departed the Capitol quietly, wondering what the men who invented the term by inheritance thought they were doing.
Yeah.
It was a whacked out idea.
No sense whatsoever.
How could you put somebody in a job that they're not trained for?
Yeah. Just because they were married to the person who had the job before.
Yeah. So Greg is going to go and teach.
Yeah. Oh, so something happens to Greg and I'm going to go represent his cases in court.
Yeah.
I'm not an attorney, but my husband was.
Yeah. But
yeah.
He died.
Like,
yeah.
So
my job.
I go. Greg shows up. It's cool. I'm teaching about urbanism today. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well,
My husband is a doctor.
Yeah,
I'm going to do surgery.
I'm going to be doing this appendectomy. Hope you guys don't mind.
He talked about them over dinner.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be
At least until the next guy comes along.
Yeah. But we are scheduled, so we don't have anyone. We're going.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, so while most widows left Capitol Hill after filling out a brief expired term, some, like Edith Norse Rogers, who's 35 years in the House, makes her one of the longest-serving women in that chamber.
Mm-hmm. Totally illegitimate, though.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly. I know, you say it like, but no. Then another one, there was another one that stayed for
a long time,
12 years.
But this also just shows you either how little respect they have for the office,
mm-hmm.
or...
It's just
how unimportant the position is.
Yeah.
So, like, what are you actually doing that someone can just step into it like that?
But it's just the idea of controlling people and people that are going to do your parties.
So I'm sure that these women didn't get to make any, even if they had their own opinions about things, and I'm sure they did because they're people.
Mm-hmm.
But like, who would listen to them?
Yeah, there's still another thing where there was one. Okay, four women of this era drew upon the experience of fathers who were established politicians
mm-hmm.
of Illinois. One of them, one woman succeeded her late father and had no experience in elective politics. And another one, she won the election to succeed her husband, who, after he was convicted, was sent to prison for violating prohibition.
Okay. Yeah, and she had nothing to do with that. Yeah. She wasn't serving up a sweet gin cocktail at their house. No, not her.
Yeah, so the ones that then did run or get the job, it was all because their fathers or husbands were in it. So they were...
This is, like, just the dirty and insidious, nasty politics.
Mm-hmm.
This is... It makes no sense at all. This is why it upsets me that, you know, here we are supposed to have, like, a republic. We're supposed to be democratic. Mm-hmm. I cannot stand the thought of going to the polls and voting for someone whose father had the job.
Yeah. Well, you know...
Like Cuomo.
I know.
He's only there because his father had the job.
Yeah.
Has Cuomo ever had a job?
Hey, Bob's your uncle.
Yes, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
100%. I don't like these political dynasties like the horse thieves from up north.
Mm-hmm.
The Kennedys.
Mm-hmm.
The horse thieves from up north. Like, these kind of families, it's like, do you really expect me to believe that your family has some kind of, like, a gene for politics?
Mm-hmm.
You're dirty, and you're buying your way through. It's just nepotism.
Yeah, that's
why
all.
Should so
and
many
it's all,
people...
it's an agreement. They're
but
all
why
like,
should
okay,
so many right. people in one family go into politics? How many people in your family are in politics?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
How many people in my family are in politics? Like, none. But then you have these families where it's like, everybody's in it, and
mm-hmm.
this is the problem.
Yeah.
Term limits.
Oh, my God.
And don't... And I think voters... I mean, definitely it's our fault as a part of the, you know, the voter.
Yeah.
Because no one's forcing these people on us. But I think when people see a name, like, well, his grandfather was
mm-hmm.
a good politician. Why not him? I'll tell you why not. Usually the further it gets from the first person, the worse it is.
Well, how about this? When Sonny Bono, remember from...
Mm-hmm.
Sonny
and
Cher.
Yes.
Well, he was in Congress, House
I think
something.
It was, yeah,
House
either
of
Congress or House of Representatives.
Well, when he died, his wife took his seat.
Why?
Mary Bono.
What?
Mary Bono. Yeah. She did, and I was just like, too bad it wasn't Cher.
Why did they...
Cher for Congress.
But why did people vote for her?
If I could
based
turn,
on what?
If I could turn back time.
Yes. If I could find a way. You know?
She'd be running things in D.C. right now.
But it makes no sense. There's no, it's not like just by being near my husband.
I know.
Then now I'm an
sense.
Attorney.
Yeah.
Didn't go to law school. I haven't passed the bar. Never represented anyone. But we've been together for 12 years.
Well,
so
therefore, it's my
therefore,
job
Therefore, when you get arrested for murder, come to me.
Yeah.
Come to me. It makes no sense.
It doesn't.
You know, and this is the other problem with
thing.
The voter, is
yeah.
that voters are stupid.
Yeah.
Because people.
We don't know this.
Yeah. You see the same name? Maybe some people didn't even know it wasn't him.
Yeah.
They're
right,
like,
they're
Bono.
Like, oh, Bono.
Yeah.
And Representative
is,
Bono,
and
now, to
the,
speak.
The worst part about it is that the whether it's Democrat, Republican, whatever, the parties go along with it. Like, great, fine, whatever.
No, they
sure.
all want it. It's in their best
yeah,
interest
it's
because
a good
they
idea.
Have somebody without experience, and
yeah.
they're not going to shake things
gonna,
up.
They're not going to shake things
they're
up.
They're kind of going to do what, toe the party line.
And people are probably saying, you know, what Sonny would have done in the situation. Right. This is what you need to be doing, Mary.
Yeah.
Mary Bono. I know, it's kind of a cool name. All right, so I have here how to win a local political campaign with no money. Mm-hmm. Now, first of all, this is America, so I don't even know why this person wrote this article. Everyone knows here, we buy the election. Mm-hmm. You buy time on television, you have to print stuff up, you got to hit the streets, you have to have an army of people working for you. You need money. You can't run without. But they're saying if you have no money, and by no money, I think they mean very little money. Mm-hmm. So number one, start your campaign early.
All right.
This guy says, when I say early, yeah, vote early and often is one of my favorites. When I say early, I mean early. So they're saying announce your candidacy a year before Election Day. Start hitting the pavement right away. There's nothing more annoying than being approached by somebody about some politician and the election is really far away.
Yeah.
I'm like, please don't even give me the leaflet because all I'm going to do is drop it in the trash right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Right? You know, it's just immediately recycled. It said most candidates don't start campaigning until a few months before Election Day. Yeah, because no one cares. Mm-hmm. So after the, can you imagine you've just voted, you're leaving the polls, and somebody is trying to run for office there. Like, you just voted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. and they're still following you.
Yeah, because they're like, I'm running for the next time. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? Actually, we're out of time. That's it? All right. Happy voting, people.
Yes, go get them.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
These are the winning slogans.
Yeah, these are these good. The best, forget the rest. Patsy. No. Patsy, one name, one legend. That's not bad, right?
It's not bad if it's for anything.
One
it's
like, name, one legend.
And then you should get merch with that
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Patsy. Oh. I would say Patsy.
And a cotton tee.
Yeah, a nice cotton tee. Slub.
Yeah, slub a nice cotton. Slub cotton tee.
Super soft, air spun.
Yeah. Pure premium cotton.
Yeah, gets better with age.
Yeah.
Gets cozier.
Soft wash.
Every day. Yeah, Patsy, you better fucking vote for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know.
That's it. That's more like it.
Yeah. Vote Patsy.
Okay,
so. One name, one legend.